If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. I want God to bless us and minister to us today. Isaiah chapter 43. I got good news and bad news last night. I found out I don't have to have surgery, but I have to wear this thing for a couple of weeks and then do some therapy to get my arm back where it's supposed to be, they said. But hey, I can get by with that. Now, if I'd have gone in and that guy said I had to have surgery, I'd probably been laid up here crying this morning. I'm not big on surgeries. I don't know about y'all. I've had a few of them in my day, and I'm not big on them. But excuse me. I'm not used to wearing this. I'm going to get used to it. I'm going to start using one of these. Amen. Eventually, I'll have both hands free where I can do something. Yeah, somebody said something to me this morning. I said, you don't hush, I'll lay a hand on you. Isaiah chapter 43, you want to read from verse 18 and 19. Isaiah writing made this statement, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. For behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you today for the privilege we have of being in your house. Use me, God, as an oracle of your divine presence. Lord, let me say that needs to be said. But God, let me hold back that doesn't need to be said that might hurt. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, it's time for an upgrade. The title of the message is what you're supposed to just say to your neighbor. It's time for an upgrade. You know, the great thing about our God, and I want y'all to listen to this. This is something I kind of caught up with me the other day, and I got to think about it. God is the only entity that can outdo his own greatness. Hello? Any of y'all ever been in church and the Holy Ghost fall and you just have church? You go, man, this is it. That was the time. I mean, that's the greatest. And then next thing you know, he just does it better the next time. He just outdoes his own greatness. Amen. That's why some of you need to understand when you come to church, you ought to come every chance you get, because God might outdo his greatness in the next service and you'd be left out. Hello? Amen. And that's why I enjoy just being in the presence of God. Last year, I was going to preach in Colorado. I took a plane out of Birmingham. God had already blessed. I actually flew to Colorado and back round trip for $10. I thought that was amazing. I had some air miles, and the lady made a mistake. She was supposed to charge me $100, and when they figured it out, they called and told me they wasn't going to make me pay the other 90. I said, well, that's good, since I'd already paid 10 and had the receipt showing I was paid in full. So they basically tell me what they had to do, but they said, we're not going to make you pay the other, but I'm just thankful the woman didn't know how to put two zeros down at the same time. Amen. But it really blessed. I was supposed to pay the $100 to burn them things, and then we got to Houston, and I had about an hour and a half layover in Houston, and I had a plane that I was going to fly from Houston to a place called Hayden, Colorado. That's near a place called Steamboat Springs. If y'all not sure what that is, that's where all the ski resorts are. And so when I got ready to get on the plane, I found out everybody coming to Colorado went through Houston to get on this plane to go up there to land at this little airport in Hayden. And so we get there and start to get on the plane, and I walked in and I sat down, and I was sitting in like aisle 12C, because I like to sit on the aisle close to the wing. Somebody said, why is that? Plane pivots around the wing so it don't move as much if you're sitting on the wing. One guy said, well, is that all there is? I said, no, I'm sitting on a gas tank, so if we crash, I know I'm not going to suffer long. But I'm sitting there, and this young lady comes walking up, and I'm sitting there kind of looking over stuff, because have any of y'all ever flown? You ever notice you get in the plane and everybody comes by and you're sitting there? So I always try to find something to do looking down so I don't spend all my day bobbing my head like one of them little dogs in the back of a car. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this girl walks up and she's standing there, and I'm thinking, well, she's looking for a place to put something in the bin before she goes to sit down. She said, you got my seat. I said, no, ma'am, I don't think I do. And I reached over in my carry-on and got my ticket stub out, and I said, I'm in aisle 12C. She said, she handed me a ticket stub. It said 12C. I said, reckon there's another 12th aisle on this thing? We looking around, and I said, maybe there's a misprint. So I just reached up, hit the button, and the little girl come back there, and she said, let me see. And she takes both them stubs, heads back up. Now, this is a full plane. We already been told that. Ain't no free seats, ain't no moving. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I want some help here, because as much a gentleman as I am, I'm not figuring on giving her my seat going to Colorado, because the next plane don't go out till the next day. I love y'all, but you'd have thought the same way. I had a guy waiting on me at the airport, and it was 70 miles to his house. I didn't want to have to go up the next day and walk. And so I'm sitting there, and the lady come back, and she said, she's right, that's her seat. And I said, ma'am, what's wrong? I bought these tickets 3 months ago, and they were sent to me. And she says, yes, sir. She said, but don't worry about it. She said, you're actually supposed to be in 5C. I said, give me my stuff. I start grabbing it. Because you see, if you fly very much, you understand there's more than a 7-row difference in what just happened to me, because I'm no longer sitting back there in coach. I just went to first class. And what happened was, when the plane filled up, there was somebody didn't buy a first class seat. Because I had air miles, they automatically put me in an upgrade and put me in the first class. Now, you may not understand that. And I had one guy tell me, said, ain't that big a difference? You ain't never flown in first class. Instead of that little seat where all of you scrunched up trying to sit there and your leg don't go nowhere, you got this nice thing like a lame recliner you're sitting in. And it swivels around, and oh, it's nice. And you know, in the back part, they come by and offer you. Now, used to they gave you peanuts, now they offer you snacks to buy. In first class, they bring that same basket by and say, what do you want? And you just get what you want out of there. Now, they got a sandwich with chips about halfway to Hayden. I got roast beef with potatoes and carrots, and you know. They got 3 cubes of ice and a half a can of Coke. I got a whole big old cup and a full can. And she said, if you want some more, just ask. And I'm like, yeah, buddy. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with us? Well, the problem is, we got a lot of folks in the church world been flying coach for so long, they don't want to move to first class. And I think it's time you understand that there is a level of Christianity you can reach. And there's another that you really actually get to, because you get happy with the idea, I'm getting by. See, those folks in the back, they still went to the same destination I went to. I just went in a lot better situation than they did, because I'm sitting up there having a good time watching a free movie while they back there just twiddling their thumbs and going crazy. Amen. And I'll just be honest with you, church. I'll be honest with you. I know that all of us believe you can live up here. Problem is, most of us keep hitting the lower mark. And I wanted to tell you this morning, I believe God spoke to me and said, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for you as an individual in this church, as a corporate body, to have an upgrade. We've been getting along in coach long enough. It's time to move up into what God wants us to have and get the presence of God moving in our life, so that we can have God do what he wants us to do. Did you say amen? You see, I believe Isaiah's talking to some people that's been through some stuff. Listen to what he tells us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I've called thee by name, thou art mine. Some of y'all get excited about that. I mean, I don't belong just to anybody. I'm God's. I don't know about y'all, but by adoption, I'm part of the family. I don't know about that. That means something to me. That means whatever he's on, he owns. I've got an inheritance coming. Amen. Hallelujah. I get up in the morning, and all I got to do is think about it. I may think I'm nobody, then suddenly I realize, wait a minute, I got to be somebody. I'm a child of God. And I'm not somebody because I am something. I'm somebody because he's something, and he's adopted me through his blood. And because of that, I need to take authority of who I am and understand I'm not just an entity that don't have any respect. I'm a child of God who's got a father that owns everything, the cattle of a thousand. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Y'all may not believe it, but there's some people in this world are known for who they are, not because what they've done, but because they inherited something that their parents left them. Amen. I may not have much in this world, but I got a father that's got it all, and because of that, I can depend on him. Come on, church. I don't have to ask permission to do stuff. Any of y'all remember back when John Kennedy was president? Some of y'all wasn't even born, but I understand that. He was doing one of them news things from the Oval Office. And right in the middle of his news broadcast with all the major networks, and we're not talking about 2,400 channels. There was like four or five you could get. And they was all packed in there. This little kid comes running through the door, goes up, jumps up in his daddy's lap, gets a paper, and starts drawing on it. It was little John Kennedy. He was about 4 or 5 years old. His daddy just laughed, and he said, "I guess we can carry on with him in here." He goes on with the thing. Later on, it was told that one of the Secret Service agents grabbed him and said, "You can't go in there." Said, "It's off limits." He said, "My daddy owns this place. You better get out the way." I got news for you, folks. There are some things that this world might tell me you can't have it and you're not going to get there, but my daddy owns this place, and as long as he does, I got a right to know that I can have what God's word has promised me. Could you say amen? He went on to say, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Amen. Now, church, any of y'all remember this old saying? "I've been through hell and high water." I just read it to you in Scripture. He just said, when you go through high water, Mark, you go through the fire, you ain't got to worry about it, because I'm going to be with you. I got news for you, honey. I don't care what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day, because I know in whose hand my hand is laying, and I know who is on my side to help me make it through it. And can I tell you, some of you need to really get over what happened to you. Come on, church. I mean, we got some folk been living in sorrow for years because something happened to them, and they don't think any of the rest of us been there. All of us have been through stuff. All of us have suffered through stuff. Just some of us got to the other side and said, "Wait a minute, it's not a matter I went through, it's the fact I got through, and I'm on the other side, and I'm moving on to something better, because I got a God going to bring me out." "Well, preacher, you don't know, I lost my job." I'm telling you, you lose your job, he got something else around the road. It's a lot better than the one you just lost. You just hang in and be faithful. Am I right, sister? Hey, I don't know about y'all, but that's an upgrade. For those of y'all who don't know, she walked in one day after being on a job for 30 years, and they said, "You're through. And I still know you." She felt peace about it. I called her. She said, "I feel at peace." And I'm thinking, okay, hallelujah. Next thing you know, she got an interview the next week. She goes to work 4 weeks out in a good job. And not only that, she's been healed. I don't know about y'all, but I'd get fired every day if I could have something like that happen to me the next week. And I know somebody's sitting there saying, "Preacher, that's her." Your God is no respecter person. You just got to get to that place where you realize you don't have to sit on the side of that hill feeling sorry for the fact you ain't on the top. There is a God that'll put you back on the mountaintop, give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It's time for some of you to ask for an upgrade. See, we've got to figure out in the church what we're going to say to people that have been bruised, battered, tore apart. Their lives are coming apart. I mean, I've told you this before, and I'll tell you right on. The world is looking to us to see how we're going to react in all these hard times. And if we're walking around bawling and squalling and feeling bad as they are, they're not going to want what we got. But if we walk out saying, "Hey, I know I'm in the valley, but I've got a God in the valley with me. I know I got to go through the fire, but I got a God going through with me. I know tomorrow's not going to be the best day of my life, but there's a day after that, my God's in charge, and somehow I'm coming out of this because God is not going to let me down." Glory. Some of you need to wake up and realize, by the time you think the world's coming apart, you're about to get an upgrade. You can't be depressed. You can't kill yourself. My Lord, there's a tomorrow. Hello? Now, church, if you're going to get an upgrade, the first thing you got to do is forget about Coach. So I said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Some of you are just so busy living in that place you've always been, you can't ever let go of it to move on somewhere else. Listen, what he said in the 18th verse, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Now, church, I'm a dumb old country boy. I got to talk to you about stuff I know. Any of y'all have been around a farm much? Then y'all gonna know what I'm talking about. Rest of them fix to get a lesson. Y'all ever heard of something about a cow chewing its cud? old cow get out there and eat hay and grass and get it all down in its belly and swallow it up good, and then after a while it'll pull it back up and chew on it a while and get some more nutrients out of it, and it'll swallow it down, then it'll pull it up and chew it a while. See, some of y'all going, "Preacher, I can't believe you're doing that." Well, you've been doing it for years. You keep getting your past and pulling it back up and gnawing on it like it's the greatest thing ever happened to you. And you can't live without telling everybody what you done been through. And you can't get right with somebody because you can't let go of the past and forgive them. And it's time some of you quit chewing your cud. It's time some of you realize what water's going under the bridge ought to be let go under the bridge. And let me get an upgrade because I can't keep living in the past. I ain't never been so upset. I get in churches when I was evangelizing. They come up to me, "I remember we used to have revival." I said, "Well, you ought to have one now. Nobody else does. You ought to get with it." Some of them same folk talk about they used to have revival was the deadest people in that place. You couldn't get an amen out of them if God walked down the aisle. Hello? That's good preaching. But you got to quit living your past. Got to stop being historical. Stories told of a young man getting whooped. Y'all know what a whooping is. Huh? It's short of a beating, but it works. You know, spare the rod, spoil the child. It's not in your Bible. Never has been, but it's been quoted. It's been in Proverbs, but it ain't there. What it does say is beat the child and they won't die. And preacher, you advocating child violence? No, I'm advocating corporal punishment. A good, well-placed hand in the right time ain't going to hurt nobody. Am I right, son? You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" Little boy getting tore up, and he runs to his daddy. He said, "Daddy, you got to help me. Mama done gone historical." He said, "Son, you mean hysterical?" He said, "No, Daddy, Mama gone historical." He said, "Son, the word's hysterical." He said, "Daddy, I know the difference. Mama ain't gone hysterical. She gone historical. Said she's hitting me and keep bringing up stuff she whipped me for last week and hit me again for it. And you got to help me because she ain't letting it go." See, some of you, your problem is you're still historical. You can't turn loose of the past. You can't let it go. And because of that, you're being held back from what God's wanting to do in your life right now. And you got to stop being historical. You got to realize God's got something for you in the future, and he knows where you're headed. Jeremiah 29:11, he said, "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then they called upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You know what God said? When you get your heart off what used to be and quit thinking about all that junk and get your mind and your heart focused on me, when you call on me, then I will answer you. But as long as you're historical and living in the past, I'm not going to hear what you got to say, because you'll never focus on the future as long as you're hanging on to the past. Could you say amen? Come on, church, that's good preaching. Y'all ever heard the story of Elijah and Elisha? How that Elijah walked by and threw the mantle over Elijah's back, and he followed him down the road, and he said, "Let me go tell mom and dad, bye, I'll go with you." He said, "You ain't got to go on me." He said, "Yeah, I do. I just felt what you put on my back, and I want some more of that." You ever notice what that boy did? He went back and took the 12 yoke of oxen he plowed with. Now, church, let me give you a little synopsis. You need to understand. That meant this boy was rich. Most Jews would kill for one yoke of oxen. He had 12. He had money. He's fixing to have it all. He went back and killed all them oxen, took their goats, made him a fire, and put them on them and offered them as a sacrifice. He said, "My God, preacher, what was he doing?" He said, "I'm getting rid of my past, because down that road I got a future. And if I keep holding on to this, I ain't never going to attain that. But if I let go of this, I got a future down the road." And some of you can't get a future because you're hanging on to what used to be and what might have been and what could have been. And some of you need to let go and realize I've got a future out there somewhere, and I can't get to it as long as I keep living in the past. Could you say amen? See, what God wants to do for you is verse 19. Simple mathematics simply tells me I can't get to verse 19 until I settle verse 18. Until I get out of that place I keep living in the past, I am never going to get to verse 19. He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way of the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That can't happen long as you keep living in the past.
But if you get past the past, what God wants to do for you, first of all, is going to be undeniable. Notice what God said. He said, behold, I'm going to do a new thing. Anytime God says, behold, that's a sign there's going to be a change. Remember John the Baptist? He come out and he saw the shadow of a figure of a man walking off a hill, and he said, behold, the spotless Lamb of God that's going to finally take away the sin of the world. All of a sudden, he said, things fix to change. I preach repentance to you, but this dude's bringing salvation. I talked about getting rid of your sin for a while. He's finna get rid of it permanently. Hallelujah. Amen. And can I tell you, whenever you hear the words, behold, that means something's fixing to shift. There's fixing to be a change. There's fixing to be another way of going. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all remember me telling you that I was at camp meeting, and on a Friday night, the night speaker come by me out of nowhere and said, I need to see you when church is over. And I go in the back room with him, and that guy calls me in there, and I'm standing there, and he said, I met you in another capacity. He'd known me as an evangelist. I'd known him for years, passed him as an evangelist. He's got no clue that about 3 months earlier, I had left the evangelistic field and became pastor of this church. He said, well, God told me to give you a word. He said, but what are you doing now? I said, I'm pastor at Alabaster Church of God. He said, I knew it. He said, I heard a shift in your church, and you're going to another place. You're going to head in another direction. There's a wind of change coming. And it's time for you to get in gear. Can I tell you, church, when people change gears in a car, after a while, they don't go by an odometer or that other thing they use. See, I never used them. You go by the sound of that motor. Amen. You drive in a race car, I didn't even have one of those RPM meters in there. I just knew when that motor hit a certain spot, I could change gears and go to the next level. And can I tell you right now, this church is ready to change gears. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready for another level. I'm ready to move into something God wants us to have. And for that to happen, we got to get to that place where we realize God's fixing to do something, and it's going to be undeniable. Notice this, and I'm hurrying. God's fixing to do something that's unstoppable. Church, do y'all understand if God said I'm going to do something, he ain't got to have nobody's permission to do it. He don't have to take a vote of the 24 elders. If God said it, that settles it. We used to have them tags on the car. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. You can leave that middle line out. Whether you believe it or not, God said it. It's going to happen. Whether it's in your life is what happens in that middle sentence. Hello? So you can't stop God from blessing people except you. You're dumb enough to not want it. It ain't going to happen. If God said it, somebody's going to get what God's sending out. It's just a matter of whether you're going to get believed and get in the middle of it and let God bless you. God said, I'm going to bless my people. I'm going to give them life and life more abundantly. And if you're walking around with not enough life going on and not enough things happening in your life, it might be because you're not grabbing a hold of God, because God don't need the devil's permission to bless you. He don't have to have it all right with the angels of heaven to bless you. If God says, I'm going to bless them, then all you got to do is get in line with what God's doing, and the heavens are going to open up, and the power of God's going to be poured out, and you're going to walk in the blessings God desires you to have. Well, preacher, I don't know, maybe if I'm not living right, somebody else get my blessing. Y'all remember they used to say that? Well, brother, you aren't here, somebody else got your blessing. Can I tell you, God ain't that dumb. The post office can find you when you move. Do you think the post office is better than God? I got news for you. You can get sold into slavery, dropped in a pit, told a lie that you died, end up in prison, and God still knows how to find you and give you blessings he showed you 13 years earlier. That's in the scriptures about Joseph. Hello? You say, what are you talking about? When my God has something for me, if he can't get it to me at that time, he puts it in undeliverable mail. And when time comes, it's still going to make it. Say, prove it. I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten, the cankerworm, the palmerworm, my great army. If I even mess up and God can't bless me, soon as I pray through, God's going to open a door and begin to pour into my life the blessings he's promised me. Could you say amen? Woo. God says he'll do a new thing. It's not something he hasn't already done. Hello? You ever thought about that? God said, behold, I'll do a new thing. They said, wait a minute, he says it's a new thing. Well, it ain't new to him, it's just new to you. It's like buying a used car. You get you a new car? Yeah. It's used. Yeah, but I ain't never had it before. It's new to me. Some of y'all act like all y'all buying new cars. Well, bless you. I got one out here I bought new, but most of them I got some miles on them when I bought them because they were discounted. I let somebody else lose that $2,000 when they drove off a lot when they traded it in, and then I got it back when I bought it. Come on, church. Smile. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm telling you, when God says he's going to do something, he said, I'm going to do a new thing. You got to understand, you don't want just anything. You want something that's been personalized. Something's been customized. Something's been set up just for you. Amen. Some of you young ladies sitting here, y'all ought not be just grabbing the first dude comes along. I mean, that's stock men. You need to go get you somebody God's designed just for you. Come on, church. Come on, guys. Don't look at me like that. You're going, hey, you're messing up my love life. No, it's not. You need to start praying for God to send you somebody that he's personally set up just for you. That way you won't be like two magnets trying to push together and running from the other all the time. Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You get two magnets, spin them around, you chase one of them magnets all over the place. They won't ever connect. And we got folks that's done that for 20 years in a marriage because they weren't personalized or customized. That's good preaching, preacher. I don't want a stock answer. I don't want to go in and say, just give me what everybody else is having. Come on, church. A buddy of mine carried me into a McDonald's one day, and I was standing there. And y'all got to understand, we'd been playing golf or something. I had on an old pair of junky clothes. My hat turned kind of half sideways, and I'm standing there. He walks in, and he thinks it's a joke. He looked up at the girl and said, he can't read. So I'm just kind of standing there looking. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to turn this on you. I'm going to act like I can't see. And I'm standing there looking around. Finally, the girl comes out. It made me feel bad. She brought out, you know, they got picture menus. If you can't read. And she comes out from behind the counter, and now it's on me because I'm sitting there going, my God, this girl's really going to get. She gets over. She said, we got a Big Mac and fries. And the guy said, he can hear good, ma'am. He just can't read. And I'm sitting there because I don't want to admit to this girl we pulling a joke on her after she's done come out there. I said, I'll just have what he's having. She said, you sure? Now we can fix something just for you. I said, no, I'll just take what he's having. She said, don't settle for what you don't want. I said, it's okay. What was really bad was when she come out there and saw me reading the paper and hit me with a broom, and she didn't even know who I was. He thought that was funny. But you know, so many of us are just like I was that day. We were so kind of caught up in what's going on in the world. I just take what they're having. You know, I'll be honest with you, church. I want something God's got for me. I don't want your blessing. I don't want to go down the road God's got lined out for you. I want to go down my road and get my blessings and walk where God wants me to walk. Come on, church. That's good stuff. But now notice this. What God's about to do will be unthinkable. It's going to be such a move of God that you're going to say in yourself, that's God. Any of y'all ever had that happen in your life? Where everything just turned around automatically and it wasn't a doubt in your mind. You're going, oh, that's God. Like when the children of Israel are standing on the side of the Red Sea and the dude's up there trying to part the water stuttering. Some of y'all catch that in a minute. Because Moses stuttered and he's up there, and the guy's down there going, hey, say it, man, we're about to die. He finally says, stand still, see the salvation of God. And when that water parted and the ground was dry under it, and them people run in front of that army, and then it closed back over them, drowned them, they stand on the other guy going, that's God. Hello? How about a teenage boy going out to fight a giant? Armed to the teeth, been training all his life, and he stops to get him 5 stones for a battle because he ain't gonna let that guy talk about his God. And he runs out there and hits him with the first rock. The guy actually picked the visor up a little bit, I believe. He had a helmet on. It wouldn't have hit him in the head if he hadn't lifted it up. I think he picked it up, see where the boy was. He popped it right between the eyes with a rock. Man fell down, knocked cold as a wedge, and he cut his head off with a sword. Now the rock didn't kill him, but he took his head off with his own sword. I had a guy one time say, why'd he have the other rocks? Because there were 4 more giants over there, and he figured if they wanted some of them, he'd give him some. He went down there figuring, I'm going to wipe out the whole bunch. You say, now, preacher, you can't prove that. Then you tell me why when he became king, he killed all four of them other giants. Nod your head. It's in your Bible. There's a one with six toes. He ought to die. There was Goliath's brother, one named Lami, and it's Bibidov. Well, I named them, didn't I? He killed them all because that was his quest. But when he got through, everybody had to say, now, that's God. What about when Jesus came and they hung him on the cross and he died and come forth out of the grave and said, now I'm he that was dead, yet now I'm alive. And I'm going to live forevermore. My God, even 2,000 years later, we're still going, that's God. I don't know about y'all, but I've had some things happen in my life that I could keep you here all day telling you about. Well, I could look back and say, that's God. Because it had to be God for it to happen. And there's things going to happen in your life that you can't even think about. Say, preacher, prove it. He said, I'm going to make wilderness. I'm going to put a river in a desert. Sure, if I go to a desert, I'm not going looking for a weird river. Ain't no river in a desert, but he's going to put one there. Why? Because it's something I could never even thought about. He's going to do those things I can't comprehend. This is what he said in Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. If I can comprehend that my God can do it, he can do it. Hello? Because he can do it whether I comprehend it. It's just I release it in my life when I start believing that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You say, well, that's great, preacher, but is that where you're going to end? No. How many of you got computers? You ever been sitting at a computer and all of a sudden something pop up on the screen and said, you got an upgrade? Man, don't scare me like that. That's happened to some of y'all, hadn't it? Y'all sitting there like, don't tell me I'm the only one getting these secret formulas here. You got an upgrade. You reach over and hit the thing and it pops an upgrade in there. And then what does it tell you right after that? To make this installation complete, this upgrade complete, you got to restart your computer. Can I tell you, if you want the upgrade I'm talking about, some of y'all got to restart your life. You got to shut off what's always been there and open it up in a new life and let it install what God's trying to put in you. And when you do it, you can have an upgrade. Would you stand with me all over the house? I believe with all my heart that I'm talking to some people this morning who want to live in a higher plane of God than you've ever lived. But to get there, you got to restart. And you got to start thinking in a different way. And to have that happen, you got to say, wait a minute. See, my Bible tells me that if I want to get back to God once I've been there, then I got to do my first works over. That means I got to have a restart. I got to punch a button, shut my life down, and open it back up to him and say, God, okay, give me an upgrade. Take me back in the fold. Renew in me a right spirit and cast me not away, but restore unto me the joy of my salvation. That's what David said when he messed up. He said, and once I've done that, then I can teach transgressors thy way and sinners will be converted because they're going to see the upgrade in my life. And there's some of you sitting here, you've not backslid on God, but you've just been going through it. And you're ready to get an upgrade. You're ready to get out of it. You still got to restart to let the upgrade take effect so you can have something in God. Church, I really feel the presence of God moving in this house. We're going to pray. If you're here this morning, and for whatever reason, spiritually, financially, physically, you need an upgrade, I want you to step out and head to the front of this altar. I believe God wants to touch somebody in this service this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you today, God, for your word. Lord, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Holy Spirit of God, touch us today. God, give us an upgrade. Touch our lives, Lord. God, move in us like never before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. This altar's open right now. You're here. You want an upgrade. You want God to move in your life like never before. I just want you to head up here right now and say, God, I just need you. God, I need you to break down some walls, some barriers. God, I need you to just begin to pour into me a freshness of your glory. I need you to renew in me the joy, the peace. Oh, God, give me the power of the anointing in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.